Genesis chapter 49. Okay, look at verse number 3. And most of you have all heard verses out of this, but we're going to use this as a jumping off spot, and then we'll look at several other places in the Bible. Genesis chapter 49, verse 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. It's a pretty good resume. Pretty good resume. Until verse 4. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray that you would just help me tonight. Lord, give me the strength I need to preach your word. Lord, I pray that you just help me to preach with my heart. And I pray that there would just be some young people that would just decide that they want to do what they can for you, and they want to excel in this Christian life. And Lord, I pray that you just help them, bless them, help all of us, Lord, as we take some truths out of your word. This is applicable to all of us, to all ages, to all walks of life. And Lord, I pray that you just be with us tonight. Help our preachers. He's away. Lord, we love him, and we miss him when he's not here. And I pray that you just bless him. Help him as he's being a blessing to some other folks. And we'll give you the praise and glory for everything that you do tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. We see here that Jacob called unto all of his sons, and he called all the sons together, and he basically went through and he told each son what his strengths and what his weaknesses were, and then he basically gave them a blessing, if he could, according to what God wanted him to do. And we see here with Reuben, he says, "Thou art my firstborn, my might," which is always a good thing. The firstborn always had the biggest blessing, okay? But you don't really see in Reuben's life that Jacob ever gives him a blessing, okay? He tells Jacob what he is, but he really never out and out blesses, he tells Reuben what he is, but he doesn't ever out and out bless him. Beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. You know, in 1980, it was interesting, I did some reading on this, and There was a propaganda campaign because in 1980, the U.S. Army switched from being basically more of a draft-type system where, you know, people were more required to a completely voluntary army. And they were struggling with recruitment abilities. They were struggling with getting guys to join the military, basically. So in 1980, they went through, like most companies, they spent probably thousands and maybe millions of dollars on an advertisement campaign to try to convince people to join the military, okay? And that campaign was so successful, they carried the same motto for 20 years, the same motto. And it was six words: be all that you can be. For 20 years, the United States Army rode on that motto. There was other mottos that were considered, but that motto came out, and it was very largely successful. They've had many mottos since. In 2001, they switched their motto, and I couldn't tell you what it. They had an Army of One, the Army Strong. I don't know what it is now. They're getting more sissified probably as they go, because guys can't. Seriously, they can't. They're trying to, you know, appeal to whatever they are. But back then it was be all that you can be. Be all that you can be. And that, I guess if I had a title that might be a title for tonight is, you know, be all that you can be. Be all that you can be. And you're not going to be the same as everybody else. And that's understandable. And young people, we've talked about this in the teen thing, and I'm opening you guys up to this, but you know, for the last several weeks prior to this, you know, in our teen training hour, we talked about how God created every one of us individually. And God doesn't expect you to be like me, and he doesn't expect me to be like you. But God created us for a special purpose. And I just want to challenge you and challenge all of us to be all that we can be. Be all that we can be. It's interesting, if you go to James chapter 1, just flip over there for me real quick. And I want, maybe this is a weird way to go about it, but James chapter 1, verse number 14. James chapter number 1, verse number 14. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We go over to Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. You know, every time you sin, something dies. And we all know, well, Brother Chad, that means that eventually we all die a physical death. And yes, that's true. Brother Chad, that means you go to the book of Revelation, we all die a spiritual death. And yes, that's true. You know, this is the second death. Okay? But you know, something else dies every time that we sin. And I believe the thing that dies every time that I sin and the thing that dies every time any of us sin is something that we could be. It's a potential that I could be, that I could do. And when I sin, that may be one thing that dies. And when something's dead, you can't get it back. And some people, you say, Bro Chad, why can God use some people more than he can use other people? Well, I'll give you one reason among many is that some people have sacrificed all that they could be in God's eyes for all that they wanted to be in their own eyes. They've sacrificed all that potential that they had to be what they wanted to be, not what all that God wanted them to be. So I believe that all of us are given a certain amount, and we are judged according to the ability that God gives us. Go to Matthew chapter 25, a very familiar passage once again. Matthew chapter number 25. Look at verse number, it's the story of the talents given out. Verse number 14, the Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Look at this statement. To every man according to his several ability. Did you notice that God didn't give everybody the same amount of talents? He didn't. But he expected the same amount of productivity based on the talents that they were given. He did. God didn't expect the man that had 2 talents to produce as much as the man that had 5 talents. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And young people, one thing that I think in my life at least is I've been given too much in my life, and I'm afraid that if I don't give what I've been given back to God, that God would take everything. And listen, young people, some of you've been given too much to just throw it all away. You've been given too much. It's funny. I was talking to Brother Anthony today. I talked to Brother Jeff last night, late, whatever time we got out of here. That's a whole nother. But we've been talking about, and it's like, you know, and I think I even preached one time, you know, you guys have to make the God of your parents your God. You have to have a personal relationship with God. If you just ride on the coattails of your parents, when you get from under the rule of your parents, you get from under God. Okay? You have to develop for yourself a relationship with God. Okay? Hey, you know what? I have to develop for myself a relationship with God. I can't ride on the coattails of Pastor Jerry Ross or Jack Gordon or Penny Gordon. I can't do that. Because what happens when they die? My God dies. Essentially. Okay? So you have to, but this goes back to what has God given you to be? What bus route has God given you to do? What Sunday school class has God given you to work? What work contacts at work? Who at work do you have that God has given to you? He hasn't given them to me. He's given them to you. I can't reach the guys at your work, and you can't reach the guys at my work. You know, I have the hardest place to work of any of you. I mean, the lost people. I'm kidding. But seriously, we've all been given something different. So could you be something? Okay? Could you be that? Because God gives to every man according to his several ability. God never asks us to do something that he does not empower us or give us the ability to do. You ever think about this? What did God want John the Baptist to be? You ever think about that? Think about the dude. I mean, sorry for my terms there, but I mean, this guy comes out of the wilderness. If we saw him today, you'd be like, wow. I mean, you'd probably say something else, but wow. I mean, the guy eats locusts and wild honey, okay? I mean, he's got a Ziploc bag walking down the street, you know, pulling locusts out, biting their heads off, okay? I mean, the guy, I don't know how he gets wild honey, but I mean, I'm imagining, you know, Winnie the Pooh had nothing on this guy. I mean, this guy goes and, I mean, he's covered in bee stings. I don't know how he gets wild honey. He didn't have no bee suit. I mean, so the guy comes in, he's covered, he's swollen completely up with bee stings. And, you know, I don't know. I have an over-imaginative mind, I think. But, you know, what did God want him to be? Well, Brother Chad, he never really accomplished much in life. Well, that's funny. Because I think the Bible says that among women there was none greater born. There was none greater born among women than John the Baptist. So I think John the Baptist, whatever God wanted him to be, which was a forerunner for him, I think John the Baptist was all that he could be. Maybe he was different. Hey, I'm different. I'm weird. I'm okay with that. But John the Baptist was different. But you know what? He was all that he could be. God didn't ask him to do anything more than what John the Baptist did. And ultimately, John the Baptist gave his life. But he was all that he could be. Hey, you know, let me ask you, could you be happily married? Could you be? The possibility, could you possibly be happily married? Yeah, you could be. All right? Could you be the one that raises good kids? Yes, you could be. You could be. But are you going to be? Are you going to be? You could be. All of us have that potential. Okay? Young people, could you be, you know, young ladies, could you be the one that marries a man that treats you like a queen? You could be. But would you be? Pastor, you know, pastor's got the 7 royal laws of courtship. You know, he's got the whole thing. He just went through all that. I've got it written in my Bible someplace. I could find it if I spend enough time. I don't know where it's at. But he preached a message one time, or maybe it was just with us guys. He said, guys, you know what the primary thing you look for, and that, I don't know how biblically this is. But he said, guys, you know what you want? You want a woman who is genuinely and madly in love with you. I thought, boy, that's good. That's good stuff right there. But guys, listen. Is that what you want? Is that what you could be the one that marries that? You could be. But will you be? Could you be the one that sparks revival in your youth group? Could you be the one that forever changes? This could be a Sunday school teacher. Could you be the one that forever changes the life of a young person? Could you be that Edward Kimball in the life of a D.L. Moody? Could you be? Could you be the one that pastors a group of people, young men? Could you be the one that is a right-hand man to a man of God? Could you be? I just want to say tonight, you could be, but will you be? You could be, but will you be? And tonight, hey, be all that you can be. God says, okay, I've given you this. Listen, you don't realize how many blessings that you're given in life, and not just the young people, all of us, how many blessings that we've been given in life, and what are we doing with them? You know, I keep going, in my mind, I keep going back to, you know, Brother Tommy Tillman standing up here. You know, now, he got angry, upset with his wife, so he decided to go join the military. And I don't know. That was kind of different, but you know what? He's reached hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people. Could you be the next great missionary? All of us must decide that we can serve God with our life. Young people, you can be. You can be. You've got, in this auditorium tonight, you've got one of the best encouragement teams that there is. These folks are rooting for you, okay? And you know what? It hurts when you decide, well, I don't think I can be. Whoa. You can be if you will be, okay? There are several people in the Bible that had a tremendous amount of potential, but they never were what they could have been because they allowed sin to creep into their lives. They could have been. So let me ask you, are you going to be a could have been, or are you going to be a I'm going to be? Okay? Well, he could have been a great soul winner. I've had this thought. I can't shake this thought. I've had this thought the last couple of days of, you know, could somebody be a pastor's wife, but maybe they sacrificed it all? Could have somebody been a pastor, but they've sacrificed? Brother Chad, I don't know. What about this whole pastor's life thing? You know what, young people? I can't convince you. I can't convince you that it's a good life. What, you know, is it worth everything? Yeah, I would say so. Amen. I'm not, you know, I don't know how to say this. I don't want to put doubts in your mind, but sometimes I look at my life and I'm like, okay, is my life, and I think this is something young people go through too, is my life really, you know, the time I spend in visitation, the time I spend for church stuff, does that matter? Does it matter? Well, it could. It could. But you know what? Even if, let's lay aside that eternal value thing, okay? Let's just take that whole eternal rewards in heaven and let's sit this back on the back burner. Now, it's very important. That's why we do what we do. As selfish as it is, that's why we do what we do. But if it wasn't for the eternal values thing, it's just a good life. It's just a good life. You know, there's a lot of things I don't ever have to worry about going. You know, I may not make a lot of money. Here's the other thing, young people. We are in the business here to produce the extraordinary, not the ordinary. Our purpose in life is not to produce everything else out there in the world. We're producing something that is far better than anything the world has to offer. You can go anytime and you can be like the 30,000 people over there around Linton. Anytime you want to. But they can't do what you are able to do. They can't do what you're able to do. So are you going to be all that you can be? Or are you just going to be like everybody else? Are you going to have the same marriage that everybody else has? Or are you going to be all that you can be? So what are you sacrificing? I'm going to show you three different people tonight and three different ways that they sacrificed the potential of what they could have been, but they never accomplished. Three different people. First one, Matthew chapter number 10. We're in the book of Matthew. Be all that you can be. You know, I'm not much in life. But I want to be something. And if the world never knows my name, I don't care. But God's got this expectation. And if I can get partway there, and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that'll be fine. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 4. There's a list of the disciples. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 4. Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, isn't this interesting, who also betrayed him. You'll never see the name Judas Iscariot. There's two Judases that were disciples, all right? But you'll never see the name Judas Iscariot without seeing who betrayed him. Who betrayed him. You know, the first thing I think that the reason that we aren't all that we could be is the same reason that Judas wasn't all that he could be. Think about this. a man that walked with Jesus Christ for 3 years. He saw every miracle that Jesus did. He listened to every word that Jesus said. Talk about opportunity. Listen, I'm not talking about worldly people out here that yeah, they've got this amount of potential. I'm talking about young people that have been given every opportunity in life to be everything that you could be. But what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Every opportunity. Your parents go here to church or you come here to church. Hey, I'm not just saying this, and I don't get around much. Thank the Lord. Okay, I'm pretty happy being fairly simple in a lot of things that goes around in our nation. Okay, call me ignorant, but I'm pretty happy right here. I've got enough junk to take care of in my life without worrying about everybody else's. But I know enough churches that young people, you are blessed to be here. Well, I don't like the dating rules. You are blessed to be here. Well, I don't like, okay, if you were in chapel, I'm not going to re-preach chapel last week, but okay, if you don't like something, you're looking at the rule, not the result of the rule. Look past the rule to the result. Listen, like I said, we're trying to produce extraordinary, not the ordinary. And if you get upset with the rules, it's because you're not looking at what we're trying to produce. But Judas, he walked with God for 3 years. What can you imagine? Can you imagine what Judas could have done for Christ? What did all the other 11 disciples do for Christ? Add one more to it. I have this saying that I like to say all the time, especially on Sunday mornings after the bus routes. This is my favorite thing. The most problems have the most potential. The most problems have the most potential. You give me a young man that you cannot control. Ah! You know what that is? If you can Sorry, we've talked about this already today. If you can control that, and if you can take that energy that the devil's using, the maniac of Gadara, and you can take him to Jesus and he's sitting and clothed in his right mind, then over here he's telling all of his friends and he's a powerhouse for Jesus Christ. The most problem, hey, listen, parents, Brother Chad, I've got problems with some of my kids. Hey, listen, you know why you've got problems with some of your kids? Is because the devil knows the potential that your kids have. So don't give up on them. Well, I haven't given up on anybody. Because, Brother Chad, these people have, maybe they've gone astray or they look like they're going astray or they got a bad attitude. You know what I see? I don't see the problem. Yeah, sometimes the problem's right here and you got to address it. But look past the problem and think, if the devil's fighting that hard to get that kid, there's something special. There's something special. And I think some adult, you know, don't get mad at the kids. Pray for them. Get behind them and say, hey, we're gonna surround them in prayer so that they can reach their full potential, so that they can be all that they can be. I keep getting off on that. Anyway. Discontentment has destroyed the potential of many, many people. Go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. What destroyed Judas? I'm going to say it was the love of money. And you know what? That destroys 75% of Christians of being all that they could be is the love of money. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Money. What did Judas want? And he sold cheap. He sold cheap. He had no greater loyalty than the highest bidder. And you know what, young people? Who's your highest bidder? Because the devil will give you 30 pieces of silver for your life. You know what happened with Judas? Shortly after this, he went and committed suicide. That's a lot of fulfillment in life. Look at how many millionaires go commit suicide. Hello, people. You get on 59 and you head south, you're going to hit Linton. Sorry, I keep saying that again, too. But it's true. If you pursue money, you're not going to be all that you can be. Judas could have been atomic bomb potential, but he wasn't. They're not satisfied with what God has blessed them with and are always trying to get more things, more money, more recognition. They leave the will of God in search of the almighty dollar. Their career becomes more important than their calling, and their individual success becomes more important than what God views as success. They've allowed discontentment to kill the potential that they could have done for Christ and his kingdom. Judas Iscariot, pursuit of money. Second person comes to mind, and I actually kind of stole this from Pastor. But go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Young people, God's got something for you, and it's huge. I can't see it, but I can see I can see almost the ripple effect. What did I tell you? 1 Samuel 16? 1 Samuel 16, verse number 6. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Okay, I'm not super intelligent, okay? Just kind of a dumb farm kid. But look at verse number 7. The Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature." What's the next five words? Now, if you're refused for something, doesn't that mean you are at least considered? If you go get a job and you fill in an application and they refuse your application, they at least looked at it. So if God looks down at Eliab and says, "I can't use you. I refuse you." Wonder why? I'm going to contend that it was pride. Pride. His self-image. You know, I think when they're all the boys are standing up there, you know, first guy Samuel sees is Eliab. Probably head and shoulders. Maybe just like, oh, yeah, wasn't there another guy that was head and shoulders that God's trying to replace at this moment? His name was Saul. But this guy's head and shoulders maybe above everybody. Nice looking guy, handsome guy. But the problem with his Eliab is, you know, yeah, he was a nice looking guy, but every morning instead of going into this mirror, he went to the other mirror to look at what he looked like or how good he looked or how he could fit in with the world, how all the girls would look at him, okay? And it was pride. God said, "Don't look on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." You know what, folks? Hey, I struggle with pride. I do. I look at everything as, how can I do that better? I remember one time, and you know, pride goes before destruction. That's a very true statement. And I'm like a living example of that. I am. I had some friends. I went to a family reunion one time. I was just a little bit younger. I was in high school. I went to a family reunion one time. I had a couple cousins that were in the military. And one of my cousins, he was actually a scout sniper he wasn't your national. I'm not, National Guard's fine. But he's not your National Guard caliber, okay? He has kind of the missions that you can't repeat. That type of guy. And they're climbing these ropes in this barn, okay? I'm like, well, whatever, I can climb a rope. I was like, hey, guys, watch this. So I hook on the rope, and I flip upside down, and I climb the rope upside down, vertical, like my feet go up, and I'm climbing upside down. And they're like, oh, dude, that's cool. And then the whole recruitment, you know, you should join the Army. I'm like, no, I'm not joining the Army, okay? So then I flip back down, and then all of a sudden, it's like something just wrenched in my back. It's like, oh, like when I flipped to come back down. You know what that was? I was just showing off. And then for like 3 weeks, it was like my whole back, I couldn't move. I was like, oh, yeah, that was really worth it. But you know, pride, Pride does that to us, causes us to do stupid stuff. And you know, guys, listen, just guy to guy, pride's going to kill you if you're not careful. I mean, how many guys in here, you could probably testify of, Brother Chad, yeah, there was some pretty stupid stuff I did. Because, you know, I dare you is the three stupidest words ever. But then when I double dog dare you, it's like, there's no turning back. But don't, you know, I think Eliab is that guy. You know, he thought he could do everything better than anybody else, okay? But you know what? God said, I don't want him. I don't want him. Because he's probably got a know-it-all attitude. He knows better than his parents. He knows better than the pastor. He knows better than the school teacher. He just knows it all better. I have refused him. The Bible tells us that when Saul was little in his own eyes, that God was able to use him. I think Eliab probably went every morning to the mirror instead of the Bible. He was full of pride, and he thought he could base everything on his good works and his physical capabilities. Pride hinders my ability and my output for Christ in ways that I'll never realize and I'll never see. Pride killed the potential of what Eliab could have done for his family and for his country. It killed the potential, listen, not just of Eliab. What about Saul? Pride killed Saul hath slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Pride. What about Samson? What killed Samson? Pride. Hey, how did the rich young ruler end up in hell? Pride. Be careful. It'll kill the potential that you have. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter number 49. This is our last person. So, Judas Iscariot, I believe that the love of money can prevent you from being all that you could be. I believe that pride, in the case of Eliab, can prevent you from being all that you could be. And this one's a very simple one. Genesis chapter number 49, verse number 3. The Bible says, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Brother Chad, what's the third person? I believe the third person we're going to look at tonight is Reuben. Reuben had the potential. The firstborn of Israel. Get this. The firstborn of Israel, the nation that God loved. Wouldn't it come to make sense that he would be the one that would be predominant among the boys, the tribes of Israel? Unstable as water. First thing we thought of is the love of money, guys, young ladies. It'll hurt you, I promise you. Second thing is pride. And third thing is this really simple one. It's lack of character. Lack of character. Character will take you a lot of places that a lot of other things will never take you. You know what takes a Christian through a hard time when they're spiritually not right with God? A lot of times, you know what it is? It's character. Well, I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like reading my Bible every day either. I'm not a super Christian. I'm just me. Okay? I'm made out of the same flesh as you are. All right? I don't feel like reading my Bible. But you know what makes me read my Bible when I don't feel like reading my Bible? Is character. You know what makes me go to work when I don't feel like going to work? Is character. It's character. But Reuben didn't have any. Reuben didn't have any. Reuben couldn't control his fleshly desires. And he killed his potential. He was unstable as water. You know, water has a few characteristics. I don't really drink water during preaching, but there was a bottle up here, so I thought I'd use it. And water has interesting characteristics. And it was interesting that Jacob gave him that analogy, that you're unstable as water. Now, water actually is amazing in its properties. Its retention of heat and its temperature retention. But it also has some other. You know, one of the attributes of water is it takes the path of least resistance. Look at any river. Go down to the Eel River. Water takes the path of least resistance. I don't believe Reuben had a backbone. He didn't have character. He couldn't even keep his own flesh in check. whatever was the easiest thing to do was what he was going to work towards.
Oh, I don't care.
What are you doing today?
I don't care.
What's your goals in life?
I don't know.
Whatever comes.
What?
That's unstable as water. That's no character. Okay? He had no convictions, and even if he did, he didn't stand true to them. I believe that he lost this because he lost incredible amount of potential with which he was born. Another thing about water, just simple science facts tonight. Not really science, just observation. Water takes path of least resistance. Water changes temperature with its surroundings. And it conforms to the container in which it is put in. This water right now is in a bottle shape. Isn't that amazing? Now it's in a horizontal bottle shape. And it's probably 68 degrees. Why? Because it conforms. Well, I just want to fit in. Yeah, so does water, and water is unstable, and therefore water will not excel. Lack of character. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Reuben just wanted to fit in with the cool crowd. He didn't care if he was making, this is huge, by the way, for young people. I'm just trying to help you, okay? If all you're worried about is just fitting in, you're exactly like Reuben. Exactly like Reuben. He just wanted to fit in. I don't want to be uncomfortable. Hey, let's go to Hebrews chapter number 12, I think. You know what? And I'm going to preach sometime on this, but maybe a couple weeks from now. You know what the Bible says? It says embrace. We are strangers and pilgrims here, and we're supposed to embrace that. I am a stranger here. Yeah, Brother Chad, you're odd anyway. Well, yeah, I know. But I am a stranger here. This isn't my home. I'm a pilgrim just passing through. Okay? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you care if you make a difference in the lives of people, or do you just want to be accepted? If people were doing wrong to Reuben, he did wrong with them. People will very rarely listen to you. Listen, folks. People don't listen to you if what you live doesn't back up what you're saying. You know, people, I'm not everything, but I want to be real for you. I want to be real, for, not just for young people, for everybody. I mean, I've said it before. I make no acclamation of living here. I don't definitely want to live down here. But if I can live here all the time, I want to be something that, okay, Brother Chad's going to mess up. But he tries to do what's right, and he tries to live for God, and he has a heart to serve. That's what I want. If I could write my own eulogy. Anyway, I had a really funny thing to come to my mind, but I'm not going to. I'll tell you later to you. Young people have a hypocrite detector. They can see a phony a mile away. A person that can do a lot with their God-given potential is one that changes things for the better when they are around. They're a thermostat, not a thermometer. Say, Brother Chad, this has all been for young people. Wrong. Because my last one is very interesting. You know what else is true about water? When water stops moving, it stagnates. When water stops moving, it stagnates. I have a pond at my mom and dad's house. I used to hunt bullfrogs in it all the time when I was growing up. In fact, I actually bought my mom's first computer with bullfrogs, believe it or not. That's another story. But I bought her a computer with bullfrogs. So I did some swapping. But that one pond they've got back there, I mean, my dad told me what it was is they were $25 ponds. He had two of them built on that property. So he paid a guy, I want two $25 ponds. So guy went in, which, you know, he wouldn't have even showed up for in today's society, but he showed up and he dug them two $25 ponds, and they're probably maybe like half the size of this auditorium each, okay? One of them's out in the woods, and it gets no breeze, it has no water movement. And you know what color the water is? It's black. Black. Gets all the leaves in it, and all the tannin leaches out of it. And you know what color the frogs were in it? Black. Now, they tasted okay, but they looked nasty, okay? But it was black. You know why? Because the water wasn't moving. Water wasn't moving. I've never seen moving water stagnate. As long as it keeps moving, it doesn't stagnate. A Christian that is doing nothing and seeing nothing done will soon stagnate. The longer that you do nothing for God, the harder it is to do anything for God. We must serve God with our youth to realize our potential. We must serve God with our lives to fully realize our potential. Hey, if you're still alive, God still has something that you can be. God still has something that you can be. God still has something for me to be. Young people, you've got a huge amount that you can be. But are you going to be all that you can be? Every day that passes is one less day of potential that we have with which to serve God. Just stay busy with the things of God and you won't have a chance to stagnate. But Chad, I'm just not involved very much. You know what's happening? You're stagnating. And you know what happens to water that's stagnant? I took the boys on a camping trip. We've gone on a couple of camping trips and I don't allow them to take water or anything. We get the water and we boil it and we filter it or whatever we have to do. And you know, I can go to a clear running stream and I'll get water and I'll boil it until it just reaches boiling point and it's good. But if I have to go to a stagnant pool to get water, I have to do charcoal filters, I have to do particle filters because who knows what's in it. Then you have to boil it like 3 times. You know what? When you start getting stagnant in your Christian life, yeah, can you still be used? Absolutely. God will use anybody. But it means you're going to have to get cleaned up first. And it takes more cleaning to get something that's stagnant clean than it does for something that's moving clean. Reuben was unstable as water. There's many people, other people in the Bible that would have had great potential for God, but they fell into the regression of sin. They saw something that was worth more to them. They desired it many times, got what they wanted. You know, Hebrews 9:22 says we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And at that day, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm not going to be judged on what you were supposed to do. I'm going to be judged, I don't even think necessarily on what I have done. Now, listen to me. I almost think that I'm going to be judged on what I have done compared to what I could have done. Because look at the man with the talents. He said, yeah, you did a good job, but what could you have done? I don't know. I mean, I understand that we're going to be judged according to our works. I understand that. But I also think God's going to look at, because there may be somebody in here that you could do 20 times more than I could do. Listen to me. If you could do 20 times more than I could do, and we do the same amount, you failed more than I did. Because you had more potential. If I can do 20 times more than you can do, and I do the same as you, I have failed. Because I'm not accomplishing everything that God has for me to do. Young people, I don't know. Take another swing at it. You can be all that you can be. One thing I wrote down, and we'll be done. Those that plug into this, I want to be all, you know, the guys that went to the military and said, I want to be all that I can be. You know what the Army did? They said, okay, give me your life. You can't, Brother Cal, am I right? They basically take you and they own you. You want to be all that you can be? Give your life to God. Brother Kyle wasn't allowed, you know, cupcakes every day at boot camp, I'm sure. If they were, sign me up. I'm going. No. There's some things in life that you will have to sacrifice. But you know, the whole slogan of the Army was, they saw the potential in a young man that could be a great warrior. And they said, okay, if you'll allow us to help you be all that you can be, we'll train you into the best fighting man this world has ever seen. You know what God says? If you'll allow me to help you be all that you can be, This world has yet to see what you can do with your life. But my life is mine. Your life is yours. Are you going to be all that you can be? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, help us this truth. Lord, I feel like so many times in my life I have failed in what you had for me to be. And Lord, I'm sorry for that. I wish I could be better for you. Lord, my heart's desire is I want to be better. But tonight, I guess it was kind of a plea for the young people. Lord, I pray that they would look at dedicating their lives to you and just settling this in their heart that they want to serve you with their life and they want to be all that you have for them to be. God, I know that you have a happy marriage and that you have happy families and you have fulfillment in their life if they will accept that. But Lord, I pray that you just help them. Lord, touch their hearts and be with them. Lord, help us here that are older. And Lord, it's so easy to just stop moving and to stagnate and to just not care anymore. But God, if we're still here, I pray that you just help us. Give us another vision of something that you want us to do, something that we can be for you. Help us to be all that we can be. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name.